So our theme for the last couple of weeks has been kind of fleshing out and wondering together about this question, is it really good news? I think most all of us have come to understand in some sense that the gospel message of Christ is really good news. It's intended for us to be good news. We certainly, I think, struggle to live fully into it. At times we can wander away. We can still gravitate toward worldly things that are not nearly as good. But we know on some level that the message that God has for us is just one of love and acceptance and grace. It's good news. It is also the case that many walking throughout this world that we're living in do not have not come to understand things in quite the same way. Where too often perhaps it's been framed as bad news, or more likely the grace and the good news of God, it hasn't found its way tangibly and explicitly into their lives yet. And I think this is an essential part of this whole good news discussion. How does this good news really get out and into the lives of all of those who need it? It's important, I think, to consider the role that we ourselves might play in all of this. And so our scripture reading for this week, it comes from the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians from chapter 9.
From 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad. He gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the need of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I think it is really a testament to the servant ministry of Paul and of his commitment to sharing the good news, the way that Paul has developed enduring relationships with several different churches in the early church years. He plants a church, he helps them to grow, and then he has to travel on to the next and do it all over again. And then he maintains these relationships with all these churches throughout the years, including the Corinthians, as we see in our scripture today. And Paul's patience and perseverance for the gospel, it's really evident as he continues to stick it out with the young church in Corinth. The Corinthians really have a number of problems as a church. There are many in the church who have begun kind of selfishly seeking status for themselves. There's significant disharmony throughout the church. And these are problems that Paul addresses in his letters. And Paul maintains a relationship with them over several years, over multiple letters. At one point in 1 Corinthians, Paul tells the Corinthians that they are more like babies in the faith than adults. And it sounds a little harsh, but he's really trying to help these Christians, to teach these Christians and help them to grow up in the faith and in maturity. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians that we read from today, we find Paul seeking to raise money to help the church in Jerusalem because the members of the church were struggling, needed help. And so Paul is taking up a collection for the Christians in Jerusalem, and he's encouraging the Corinthians to participate. But really, it seems Paul is much less interested in successfully raising any money than really trying to raise up committed followers of Christ, who people who, like him, know deeply the gospel, who live out the gospel generously with their whole lives. He's trying to teach how the sharing of what they have it's so intricately tied to the good news gospel of Christ that they have come to confess. And so we see Paul here speaking about generosity. He's speaking about sharing of our abundant blessing. God provides every blessing in abundance, Paul says. The author Lynn Twist wrote a book called The Soul of Money. And in it, she describes the mantra of scarcity. And she says, for me and for many of us, our first waking thought of the day is, I didn't get enough sleep. And then the next one is, I don't have enough time. Of course, we don't have enough money or ever. Or we're not thin enough. We're not smart enough. We're not pretty enough or fit enough or educated or successful enough or rich enough ever. Before we even sit up in bed, it can be our perception that we are already inadequate, already behind, already losing, already lacking something. And then by the time we go to bed at night, our minds race with a litany of what we didn't get to or what we didn't get done that day. And the perception of not enough can become a driving force in our lives. Walter Brueggemann, a leading Old Testament scholar, he says that we must confess that the central problem of our lives is that we are torn apart by the conflict between our attraction to the good news of God's abundance, and also the power of our belief in scarcity, their intention. And the good news, though, the good news, God's abundant blessings are woven deeply into this life and this world and in countless ways. Though namely, as Paul reminds the church here, he's saying namely that in the indescribable gift of Christ, this is abundant blessings in itself. And this alone, in the indescribable gift of Christ, in this alone there's overwhelmingly good news. And sharing of our lives generously is connected with the gospel of Christ. It's connected. It's our response to the abundant blessings of God and the indescribable gift of Christ. Generous living, Paul is saying, it's like sowing seeds. Whoever sows sparingly, he says, will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. At home in my garage, I've got a few seeds that I got when I decided to plant a garden a few years ago. And I just had a bunch of seeds left over that I didn't get planted, but I really haven't gotten around to planting much of a garden ever since. And so they're sitting in a drawer for years now. These vegetable seeds have been sitting there in a drawer, not producing the harvest of tomatoes and cucumbers and carrots that they were made to produce. And there can be a hang-up for us in all of this, where we may be holding onto seeds. We may have seeds that we can share, little seeds of grace that we can give away to those around us in the world, seeds of our time to give, or of our talents to share, or our treasures maybe. And we may be holding on, thinking that it's not enough, or we're not enough, that we're not enough, or thinking maybe what could I possibly do? But the promise is if you plant a seed, if you plant two or three or more, there's going to be a harvest. Life is going to spring forth somewhere, somehow, because of the little seeds of blessings that we've planted along the way. One interesting piece in all of this is that we really don't know how the offering that Paul was collecting really turned out. We might assume that the Corinthians responded positively, and that the offering got where it was supposed to go, and that great things were then done there for the sake of the gospel. But really, we don't know at all. This is the end of that conversation. There's no summary conclusion to this capital campaign. We don't know what, if anything, came of it. And when it comes to sharing the good news of Jesus, that can so often be the case, where you may share a bit of grace here, a bit of your time there. And truthfully, we can have a hard time seeing sometimes the fruits of our labor. One thing I remember my dad quoting every so often when I was growing up was this idea that the true meaning of life is to plant trees under whose shade you may never sit. We may not see the fruits of our labor, though the calling upon us remains to live generously, to sow these seeds bountifully. In our Wednesday night life group a couple of weeks ago, we heard the story of how someone came up to this guy years after something that he had done to kind of graciously bring someone a little joy and make them feel welcome. And the girl came to him years later to thank him, and to tell him that it had this little thing, that it had literally changed the course of her life, that he unknowingly had been a very important person in her life, and really he had no memory of this incident, this little bit of grace that he had extended. He didn't even remember it, but it changed her whole life. More than likely, if we have come to know the gospel of Jesus as good news to us, it's because of someone that we've encountered along the way. At some point in our lives, someone, sometimes some parent or grandparent, some Sunday school teacher or a caring member of the church or community. It's because someone along the way has planted a seed in us, with their actions, with their love, their grace extended to us. Someone who wasn't afraid to sow seeds generously in the world around them. We can't be afraid to give of ourselves generously. Our scripture today reminds us that God scatters seeds abroad, it says. Abundantly God scatters. Abundantly we've been blessed with grace and love. This is the way that God sows seeds of grace, of good news. God spreads it bountifully and generously. There's a story in the Gospels that talks about how God spreads the seeds, how God scatters the seeds, and they land not only on the good soil, but everywhere, on the rocky ground, on the thorny ground, not just on the fertile soil, but still God scatters the seed. Barbara Brown Taylor retells this story from Scripture about how the seed is spread. And she says, once upon a time, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path,
and the birds came along and devoured them. So he put his seed pouch down, and he spent the next hour or so stringing aluminum foil all around the field. He put up a fake owl that he had ordered from a garden catalog. And as an afterthought, he hung a couple of traps for the Japanese beetles. And then he returned to his sowing. But he noticed then some of the seeds were falling on the rocky ground. And so he put his seed pouch down and again he went to fetch his wheelbarrow and his shovel, and a couple hours later he had dug up the rocks and was trying to think of something useful to do with them when he remembered his sowing and he got back to it. But as soon as he did, he ran right into a briar patch that was sure to strangle these little seedlings, and so he put his pouch down again and he looked everywhere for the weed poison, but finally he decided to just pull the thorns up by hand, and which meant he had to go back and get his gloves. Now by the time the briars had been cleared, it was getting dark, and so the sower picked up his pouch and his tools, and he decided to call it a day. And that night he fell asleep in his chair reading a seed catalog. And when he woke the next morning, he walked out into his field and he found a big crow sitting on his fake owl. And he found rocks that he had not found the day before. And he found new little leaves on the roots of the briars that had broken off in his hands. And the sower considered all of this, pushing his cap back on his head. And then he did a strange thing, and he began to laugh. Just a chuckle at first, and then a full-fledged belly laugh that turned into a wheeze at the end when his wind ran out. And still laughing and wheezing, he went after his seed pouch. And he began flinging seeds everywhere, into the roots of the trees, onto the roof of his house, across all of his fences, and into his neighbor's fields. He shook seeds at his cows. He offered a handful of seeds to his dog. He even tossed a fistful of seeds into the creek, thinking that they might take root somewhere downstream. And the more he sowed, the more he seemed to have. None of it made sense, but for once that did not seem to matter. And he had to admit that he had never been happier in all his life. God spreads the seed all over the ground, everywhere. It covers all of us. This is the generosity of our God, the sower of seeds, the giver of life. God scatters seed, this seed of life, of good news for us, wildly, seemingly wastefully, he scatters it for us. And graciously, God sows in this world abundantly. God shares seeds of astounding grace, of wondrously good news, indescribable gifts. And we too are called to do just that, to live generously, to share bountifully, to embody the good news of God for people who desperately need it. May it be so. Amen.